I'm really missing the IndyCar series. I think they had a really good season this year. But let's check out the 2023 IndyCar series team grades. I want to start this episode off with acknowledging the passing of Jill DeFerrin, an Indy 500 champion. So it's with heavy hearts. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends. And as I said, let's get into the 2023 IndyCar Series team grades. I really feel like this was a really good competitive IndyCar season. I don't feel like there was a lot of comers and goers. I feel like there was just a lot of great races and great drivers. There were some teams that were very questionable whether they were going to be able to find their groove. And I do believe there was a few teams that I graded harshly, but at the same time, I do feel like they deserved the grade I gave them. You guys will have to let me know what your thoughts are. But overall, I feel like there was just a lot of competition this year. There were several teams that just didn't even win a race this year. And I was really shocked by that. Just because, you know, you have these expectations on these drivers and, you know, the fans of these drivers want them to win, you know, every race they can. And for them specifically, I was really shocked. And the first team I'm going to start with is McLaren, because this team did go without a win this year. Had, great drivers running for him. Pato O'Ward was really competitive. Rossi had his moments where he was really competitive. And Rosenqvist was good for qualifying. He led the team with poles. He had two. None of the other team drivers had any. Rossi was pretty consistent. Never got a win. Finished ninth in the championship. But the most dominant Aero McLaren driver this year was Pato O'Ward. While he didn't have any wins, he did have 9 top fives and 14 top tens. Finished fourth in the championship. And then, obviously, Tony Kanaan had the one-off race with the Indy 500 and was running pretty good. I feel like the whole month of May was really good for Aero McLaren. They just couldn't put it together in the race. Pato, obviously, had his accident, which, you know, cost him a chance of winning. Overall, I give Aero McLaren a B on the year. I feel like they had their ups and downs. They were really competitive. They were very consistent. They just didn't have the speed to win some of these races that they were probably in contention for. Rosenqvist and Rossi had their issues a couple of races, most notably in Detroit. And I just feel like they've got to clean that up. And obviously, Rosenqvist is moving on, so they will have a new teammate in 2024, which I can't wait to talk about how Aero McLaren really shifted this offseason. But like I said, I give them a B overall. Let me know what you think. Let's move on to a team that has the name recognition, but just somehow never seems to really get in contention for most races, and that is Rahal Letterman-Lanigan. Bobby Rahal, David Letterman, you know, those are two big names, not only just in the IndyCar world, but with David Letterman having the late night show for years, you know, he's well known. So when you look at their team, man, what a crazy 2023 for Rahal Letterman. With Graham Rahal missing the 500 for their team. Man, that was just, you know, really, really hard. Then Jack Harvey, he had that accident early in the season at St. Pete that kind of really just rattled him, it seemed like. And then, you know, obviously being replaced towards the end of the year, Yuri Vips took over for him for a few races. But overall, just a really interesting, weird roller coaster of a season for Rahal Letterman-Lanigan. I give him a B-. Overall, The only saving grace was Christian Lundgaard's run, you know, with his one win, two poles, ran really well at the Indy road courses. So did Graham, the second Indy road course race. And I just feel like that team, after, you know, getting knocked out of the Indy 500 with Graham, having, you know, Jack Harvey down there as well, and Lundgaard, their only lock-in was Catherine Legg for the Indy 500. You know, they had three cars, and bump day is stressful. And with Graham being eliminated, it seemed like they really went to work and they really started pushing themselves. So like I said, B minus for that team. Christian Lundgaard was the highlight, getting the win. But like I said, I could have went a little lower, but I feel like their second half stats on the year really, really surprised me. And I can't wait to see what they do in 2024. Moving on to another team that has the name recognition, but just seemed all over the place this year, was Andretti Autosports. You know, they had the high-profile drivers, Romain Grosjean, Colton Herta, Kyle Kirkwood, Devlin DeFrancesco, and Andretti, Marco Andretti, ran the 500. You have all this star power. You think, man, they're going to be really competitive this year, and they just weren't. You know, you had glimpses at times. Kyle Kirkwood was the only driver that got any wins for them. You know, still finished 11th in the championship with two wins is kind of surprising to me. And then Colton Herta really just didn't seem to be himself this year. Romain Grosjean had way too many crashes and just incidents. Devlin DeFrancesco was really never a factor in any race, it seemed like. And then, you know, Marco Andretti, you know, comes to the Indy 500, runs really well, competitive most years. Just was kind of a teen car this year, run mid-teens. Didn't really feel like he had a lot of speed in that car this year. But overall, I give him a D. With the star power they had, I just feel like the only reason I didn't give him an F is because of Kirkwood getting the two wins, but none of them really were competitive at all this year. Colton Herta finished 10th in the driver standings. That's the highest Andretti Autosport driver, followed by Kirkwood, who finished 11th, and Grosjean 13th. And Devlin DeFrancesco, like I said, was nowhere really to be seen this year. I'm not really sure what was happening with that program there. Maybe too many resources, but yeah, I give them a D. I feel like they were just all over the place this year. Just never felt like they were clicking. Moving on to my first failing team of the year, and that is going to be Ed Carpenter Racing. Man, what a disaster of a season. Just overall looking, you know, at the standings and looking at the drivers and everything. Between the organization, they only had four top tens, no top fives. Their highest finishing driver in points was Rinus VK in 14th. They released Connor Daly early for that team. Connor finished 25th. He was just never really competitive this year. And then Ryan Hunter-Reay come in, and yet again, he got a top 10 somehow. It was just never really competitive. And, you know, Carpenter ran the Indy 500, you know, always a fan favorite. He really qualified well for the 500, but just in the race, never really seemed to be a factor. You know, I think, you know, when Connor Daly gets close to the front at Indy, everyone gets really excited. So it just felt like that the team was just all over the place. No rhythm this year, obviously letting Connor go early. They weren't happy with the performance of him. And I don't think he was really happy with the performance of the team as a whole. So at the same time, you look at it and you think this could be a fresh start for Connor Daly. Hopefully, you know, gets a ride for 2024 or finds, you know, something to do. Maybe takes a year off. I'm not really sure where where he stacks up yet. There's a few teams yet to announce their 2024 stuff. But overall, I feel like, you know, this team really needs a rebound season going into 2024. But, yeah, it'd be exciting to see what they can do. Hopefully they get some momentum going their way. The next team, another team that is kind of like all over the place, just not really competitive, had their moments. I don't feel like they trust their drivers enough to do things, and that's Junkos Hollinger Racing, Callum Ilott, and Augustin Canapino. I really felt that this team really didn't trust their drivers at times, and I say that because during the Indy 500 month, Callum really seemed like there was just something wrong with the car. He didn't really feel like it was in the track. I actually was able to talk to him at length about it, and he just felt that there was something wrong with the car. And, you know, the confidence that he had in knowing that there was something wrong with the car. And you could kind of see that once they went back to the older chassis. He was just fast. So, you know, I feel like that's a team that's trying to build, trying to grow, you know, and Callum's moving on from that organization and will not be running an IndyCar next year. So it kind of gives me a sense that, you know, he didn't feel like his voice was heard within the organization. Augustin Canapino will be back next year. I give this team a D. I really felt like they had more potential, and there was just a lot going on behind the scenes that just wasn't, you know, fully there. So I hope that, you know, their 2024 season goes much better. I really like this team. I like their ambition. I like their kind of model of being a little team and trying to build up, but they've got to get more than three top tens next year. And Augustin Canapino, let's see what he can do and see if he can kind of take on that leadership role within the organization. The next team I want to highlight is Dale Coyne Racing, another small team. I feel that they have a lot of potential to build and grow. This is one of the teams actually that hasn't talked a lot about 2024, so I'm not really sure what their outlook looks like. But when you look at their 2023 season, it's kind of all over the place. David Malukas, you know, with the Indy 500, was like kind of on the bubble of getting, you know, into the field, and then there towards the end of qualifying, he kind of just set a lap and was, you know, very, very ecstatic to make the 500, which rightly so, and not have to worry about bump day. Stingray Rob in his rookie year, it was rough for him. I felt like he crashed more cars than finished races, it seemed like. And he's got a great fan base. He's a very, you know, open, you know, guy when it comes to talking and being vocal about things. And I mean, he's a really good guy. Like, met him a few times, talked to him, and, you know, he's very open and honest. So his potential is there. Just got to get, you know, moving in the right direction. Overall, though, I give this team a C-. I felt like David Malukas kept them, you know, in for that team. Just being able to, you know, mustered up two top fives and six top tens with a team that was kind of, you know, not fully funded, it seemed like, didn't have, you know, the equipment that, you know, your bigger teams have. So I felt that there was a lot there that he showed the potential for the team moving into 2024. Let's see what kind of talent they get behind the wheel and see what they can do, you know, to boost that team. Let's move on to the owner of the series team. Let's talk about Team Penske. Honestly, another team I just felt that, you know, man, Joseph Newgarden, Scott McLaughlin, both got wins. Willpower was there a few times. Very off season for Willpower. And I say that, and he's sitting there with, you know, six top fives and 11 top tens, but didn't get a win. Finished seventh in the championship for Power. Joseph Newgarden getting four wins, obviously the biggest being the Indy 500. Obviously the biggest win for him this year. And for his celebration to, you know, get into the stands and celebrate with the fans is really cool. You know, Scott McLaughlin, he probably could have won two or three more races. Finished third in the championship, was kind of keeping up there. I give this team an A minus just for overall, you know, how do you give the team that finishes, you know, third, fifth, and seventh in the championship anything lower? You know, Power was there close to winning a few times, just couldn't get it done. But, you know, the other team, five wins, just crazy season for Team Penske to win the Indy 500. It just great to see. Hopefully, you know, with, you know, Penske owning the series now, hopefully we get to see some more races. Hopefully we see the series grow. I know there's a lot of, you know, hesitation there, but I feel like Penske's great for the series. I think it's just taken some time to kind of iron out some things. I'm not ready to get overly, you know, worried. I know some of the riders on social media are getting a little, almost like hitting the panic button. I'm not there yet. The series is still growing, still strong. So, you know, I really feel like with the F1 build in the, you know, into everything right now, it's really putting a spotlight on motorsports and IndyCar. I feel like they're growing. I feel like the numbers are there, a little bit of growth last year. Just got to keep building on it. And I know I don't want to talk too much about 2024, but with Kyle Larson running the Indy 500, that's going to put a big spotlight on some fans that normally don't watch IndyCar. Your NASCAR fans may transition into, you know, at least watching the Indy 500 if they don't, you know, on Memorial Day weekend. But, you know, for me, I think it's going to be big to have Kyle Larson come to Indy, and I think it will put some more eyes on the sport. So growth, I feel like, is the big key here. And I feel like Penske can do it. If there's someone that can do it, I do believe he can do it. I think we just have to give him some time. And don't hit the panic button yet. Next team I want to focus on is another team I give a failing grade to. And that is Meyer Shank Racing. Man, Elio Castroneves, what a terrible year for him. Just overall, it didn't seem like anything was working. Same with Simon Pagenaud. And man, that crash at Mid-Ohio, that sums up their season. Just terrible. Unfortunately, you know, kind of sidelined Pagenaud for the rest of the year. Hopefully, you know, we see him back in an IndyCar soon. Hopefully, you know, keep following him on social media to see his progress and updates. But I don't see the upgrade for 2024 being much better. You know, this team only had one top 10 all year. I just feel like they've got a lot to improve on, and I don't know that it can get much worse. So, failing grade for 2023, and let's hope that 2024 is better. Another team that I just gave a failing grade to, was AJ Foyt Racing. The only life this team had was at Indy. There was no other highlight. Everything else was low light. You know, Santino Ferrucci was amazing in Indy. Benjamin Peterson was really good in Indy. And, you know, I know Peterson got caught in up a crash, but at the same time, you know, they only had one top five and one top 10. And I believe both those were Santino Ferrucci's top five at the Indy 500. So, overall, not a great year for that team. They've got a lot to build on. I think the, you know, kind of alliance with Penske is really going to help them in 2024. And when we start talking about 2024, I believe that it'll be exciting to see how that unfolds with their driver lineup. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I feel like, you know, it'll be exciting to see if that technical alliance really helps build the organization. The next team I want to talk about is a little team, and that is Able Motorsports. RC Enerson attempted the Indy 500 and, you know, made the show, had some mechanical issues, and that's really about all it was for them, unfortunately. But making the Indy 500, great for a small team that kind of just threw some stuff together. And kind of, you know, just made the best of it. I give them a C overall. I feel like it was a season, you know, that they could build on for next Indy 500. I hope they enter again, maybe enter more races, because I'd like to see, you know, I like to see the growth. And, you know, you see these little teams come in, and that really helps build the sport as well when you have little teams that want to participate in the series. Speaking of another little team, that would be Dreyer and Reinbold with Cusack Motorsports with Stefan Wilson and Ryan Hunter-Reay. What a interesting month of May they had with Ryan Hunter-Reay coming back. It was good to see him at the racetrack again, which we thought was only going to be for the 500, which talked about earlier. He ran some races for Ed Carpenter. It was good to see him in the paddock again. And Stefan Wilson, it was really good to see him, be, you know, his presence in the garage is always fun. So, unfortunately there was a practice crash that, sidelined Steph Wilson from the Indy 500, which I know was, you know, really devastating for him. They put so much work and effort into finding a ride and securing sponsorship for the 500, and to be sidelined for, you know, a crash that, you know, was kind of just a weird incident is hard. But, you know, where there's one, you know, sad point, there's another, you know, happy point. And with that, with Steph Wilson's injury, you know, it gave Graham Rahal that opportunity to get back into the Indy 500. So, it was kind of fun and interesting to follow along how that was going to work and everything. But, yeah. Another team that just deserves a lot of credit coming out, working their tail off to get not only one but two cars into the Indy 500 is really impressive. I actually gave them a B minus because they ran really well in the race with Hunter-Reay, and you know, I just feel like they come out and they have a lot to prove, because, you know, Dreyer and Reinbold ran full seasons back in the day and kind of cut back operations to just focusing on the Indy 500, and it's been good for them. So, you know, another little team that maybe, hopefully, we can get a few more races out of them in the future, but just to see them at the Indy 500 is always nice. And then the championship-winning team, Chip Ganassi Racing, there's no way you can't give them an A. All their drivers were really good this year. Obviously, Alex Palou was just dominating, finished in the top 10 in every race this season, won the championship. Scott Dixon also up there second in the driver's championship. It's hard to root against him. Marcus Ericsson also ran really well, got a win, nine wins on the season, over half the races won by Chip Ganassi Racing. Just with three different drivers, all three of their full-time teams won a race. So very impressive, very dominating for Chip Ganassi. Looking to 2024, I don't know if anything can slow them down. But you know, Alex Palou is coming back. So that's a whole story that you could do a whole episode on just by that. But looking over the entire 2023 schedule season, competitiveness, I feel like it was a really, really good season. Overall, I think I'd give the season a B plus. I think for me, I look at the schedule. I want some racing later than September. I know there's a lot of fans that want that. So hopefully in the next few years, we get that. And, you know, we can get more than 17 races to make it competitive and just continue to build the series. I think growth is a big thing right now. we have to get more programming. We have to get more social media. We have to get more fans talking about the series. So that's one of the reasons I like doing this podcast, is because I like to just be a voice that reaches out to fans, and I want fans to interact with me so that, you know, we can help build an organization up like the IndyCar series. We want the IndyCar series to be strong. We want motorsports to be strong, because when motorsports are strong, we all benefit. The teams, the sponsors, the organization, and the fans. Most importantly, when the series is doing well, the fans are there to support the organizations, the teams they like, the teams they don't like. You know, we all have those teams we like. There's those teams we don't like. I don't really have a team I don't like. I think, you know, when I look at the grand scheme of everything, I can find something to like just about every team. So, yeah, let me hear from you. What do you think of the team grades I give out? Do you think I missed something? Do you think I was too harsh with some teams? Do you think I was too, you know, did I give a team a grade they probably didn't deserve? You let me know. You know, all the social media platforms we're on, all those are in the show notes, and you can find us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. I'm trying to get more TikTok savvy. I'm trying to learn that platform a little bit to put more content out there, because it's a big outreach for younger people, and the younger people is what we are trying to draw into. So, you know, make sure you like, follow, subscribe, share this podcast with your friends. And if you like this podcast, make sure you rate this podcast and leave me a review. I'm going to start reading reviews. So if you like this podcast, make sure you rate and review and like and follow us on all our social media platforms. And I will talk to you next time.